sleepy, she barely even registered the soft kiss until he was pulling away, his thumbs brushing over her temples again.
Thank you for telling us.
I'm running out of time, she breathed out softly, wondering at the huge weight that had just lifted off her chest, at the silky, warm river of feeling that wound its way through her. I'm sick of secrets. He kissed her temples, their combined scents wrapping around her like a fuzzy blanket, warm and earthy and sweet. Her eyelids began to droop.
Do you mind if I take your phone tonight?
She barely registered Theodore's voice, and nodded just to make him go back to stroking and kissing her temples. But he gripped her chin gently, demanding her attention.
Can I take your phone, Illy?
Will they find out I told you? She asked, hating the tremble in her voice.
Never.
He kissed her lips again, another soft, drugging brush, before pulling back, a groan building in his chest.
I think it's time for bed. Killy, can you bring Oscar in without anybody seeing? On it.
Killian gently set her legs down, and she could hear him drying off before slipping out of the room. Theodore bundled her in tighter, a shudder passing through his chest as he kissed the side of her mouth again.
He'll make sure it looks like you're sleeping in my room alone. Why did Oscar want to stay with you tonight?
I forget. She nuzzled against his chest, her hands winding around his neck, her sigh spilling out over his wet skin. He seemed to be almost naked, but she could feel material beneath her thighs, where her borrowed boxers had ridden up. The door opened again, and she turned further against Theodore's chest, squeezing her eyes shut at the brief flash of light.
I have clothes, Killian said.
Theodore stood, still holding her with one arm as he turned off the shower, and then set her down on the fluffy bath mat, holding her by the hips as she continued to lean on him.
Why do I feel so funny?
She mumbled against his skin.
So sleepy.
I think the bond is a little overloaded, baby.
Killian squeezed most of the moisture from the long length of her hair with a thick towel.
We're going to take off these clothes now, okay? Theo will close his eyes. Like fuck.
Theodore started to growl, his fingers pinching in against her hips, before he cut himself off on a rough vibration of sound, which quickly faded to something more comforting, like a gentle rumble.
They're closed.
Killian slipped the wet boxers down her legs wordlessly, Theodore holding her steady as Killian lifted each leg clear. She felt drugged or drunk, like her soul had been slowly dying of thirst, and then suddenly it had been tossed into a swimming pool of the sweetest wine, and it had just soaked all of it up, desperate gulp by desperate gulp. Killian dried her legs, and she sighed contentedly against Theodore's skin, which was heating up to an almost uncomfortable level. Killian stood again, his towel-covered hand pushing between her legs. She flinched as a bolt of heat speared from her clit to her chest, burning a straight path of fire through her body, a moan slipping from her lips.
What? Theodore grated. The fuck?
Killian moved the towel to her hips and stomach like nothing had happened.
Bra,
he muttered quietly.
It's already torn.
Theodore's hand flashed up so quickly she didn't even feel his touch against her chest. One minute, her breasts were contained by the tied-together lace. The next, the garment was ripped clean off her body.
Fucking hell,
Killian swore.
You good?
Theodore was still behind her, stiff as a statue, his breathing ragged. He didn't answer, and Isabel was too drunk on all their touches to care about who Killian was talking to. She turned in Theodore's arms, whining as she clutched his neck.
Tired of standing, she complained, tugging on his shoulders. Theodore was big and strong and warm. She should just make him pick her up so she could go to sleep.
Fuck. The shirt.
Theodore grunted.
A second later, a shirt was being dragged over her head, and then Theodore was gathering her up.
Chapter 7. Mikkel is just an innocent bystander.
Mikkel paced across the polished floorboards, agitation rushing through his veins as he listened to the shower turning off in the other room. He eyed Oscar, who was reclined on Theodore's bed, his arm bent up over his eyes like he didn't even want to be there.
"You really don't need to chaperone,"
Oscar murmured, his gravelly voice amused.
"I've slept with her before."
"Killian said she's acting drugged." Mikkel fought to keep his voice even, knowing perfectly well that his words were about to get a reaction. Oscar lowered his arm, dark eyes flashing.
"And you think I'd take advantage of that?"
"No." Mikkel stopped pacing, giving him an exasperated look. "But I can't have you breaking fingers or threatening to cut off limbs if she does something stupid with someone else. Not within the group. You know the group is off limits."
"Bah."
Oscar covered his eyes again.
"I'll be a good boy. You can go. I'm here to check on her."
The arm lowered again, just a little.
"Why?"
"Same reason you demanded to sleep with her tonight." Mikkel folded his arms, his muscles twitching, his entire body vibrating with the need to do something.
"Because of... don't speak the dead girl's name."
Oscar rushed out on a snarl, half rising from the bed before deliberately and slowly laying back down again and forcing his arm back up over his eyes. The door to the bathroom opened and Killian stepped out. This time, Theodore was behind him, the Sigma wrapped up in his arms. She was dwarfed by an oversized t-shirt, her head pushed into Theodore's neck, her eyes closed. Killian put a finger to his lips, and Mikkel watched, a little shocked, as Theodore laid the sleeping girl down in the middle of the bed. She whimpered, but Oscar shifted to his side, drawing her into the curve of his body, and she settled back down immediately, brushing her nose against his arm. It was the first time Mikkel had seen Oscar hug anybody other than his sister, and even then it was more like he endured his sister's hugs more than he initiated them. Oscar would kill for his sister. What the hell was this supposed to mean? Killian, who had already borrowed a pair of Theodore's sweatpants, slipped into the bed on Isabel's other side. Theodore ducked back into the bathroom and emerged again with a phone that he tossed to Mikkel before disappearing into his closet to switch out the towel he had wrapped around his hips. Mikkel jerked his head toward the door when Theodore emerged again in dry clothes, and the younger Alpha nodded, casting a quick glance to the bed before tearing his attention away. Mikkel began leading him to his office, but Theodore shook his head and strode toward Elijah's room. He opened the door without knocking, Mikkel following him in and closing the door behind them. Elijah was sitting at his desk, frowning at one of his monitors. He didn't even look up when he asked, "What happened?"
"I did everything you said to do."
Theodore's voice wasn't right. Too tight, too short, like he wasn't taking in air at the normal rate.
"And you were right. She was completely overloaded, practically passed out."
"Good." Elijah pushed back his chair and ripped off his glasses, tossing them onto his desk.
"But it only worked because she's been ignoring the bond. We can't do this every night. We need to figure out another way to keep her here and keep her safe until the end of term."
Mikkel slumped onto Elijah's window seat, pulling out his phone and glancing at the message they had all received in the group chat at some point during movie night.
"Elijah, Carter is in a bad way. Luckily, those dark circles under her eyes make it look like she hasn't been sleeping, or we might have to explain why she's melting into Killian like he's a damn cloud right now. She's obviously not going back to her dorm alone tonight, so whoever decides to bodyguard while pretending to surrogate, listen up."
"Elijah,
getting her in a smaller space with minimal clothes so your scent can properly bake into her is a good idea. Sex is a very bad idea. Lots of skin contact is a good idea. Sex is a bad idea. Touching her pressure points and where her veins are closest to the skin is a good idea. Sex is a bad idea. Speaking to her softly and gently is a good idea. Sex is a bad idea. Keeping her in a harmonious, low-conflict environment is a good idea. Sex is a bad idea.
Mikkel skimmed the message again, trying to figure out how any of that would knock the Sigma out. He pocketed his phone again and fixed Theodore with a look.
What did you do exactly? I'd prefer to know that she's passed out in a good way, and not from shock.
We rubbed her in all the right places.
Theodore rolled his eyes before realizing what he had said and quickly amended.
Like, her temples, her neck, her ankles.
She relaxed very quickly and passed out even faster.
Elijah was nodding along while Theodore spoke like he already knew that was exactly how Carter would react. He was also scrolling through the phone Theodore had handed him, simultaneously reading whatever was on screen.
It's bad, Elijah said, glancing up at Mikkel and holding out the phone. Mikkel got up and scanned the messages, the photos, the video.
Well, he handed the phone back, his entire body growing still and calm, like it always did before a fight.
She's even better at keeping secrets than I thought. Pity the one person she chose to confide in was a backstabbing little cunt. She could have used a friend.
What happened?
Kian pushed into the room, his bright, intelligent gaze darting between them.
Who's guarding her?
Oscar and Killian. Theodore didn't look up from the phone as he surveyed the messages with a thunderous expression on his face, but when Kian drew closer, he sucked in a breath, closed his eyes, and handed the phone over.
We have limited options here,
Elijah said, sitting back in his chair and folding his arms.
And we have to consider that the club,
he rolled his eyes as he said the word,
might be behind all of this to begin with. This might be an initiation task.
It suits their M.O.,
Mikkel agreed, voice tight with annoyance.
You haven't heard any of them mentioning her?
No,
Elijah confirmed, mouth thinning further.
You and Kaelin?
Nothing.
Mikkel stood, beginning to pace.
If they wanted to recruit her, why wouldn't they use us to get to her?
Same reason they didn't use you to get to me?
Elijah shrugged.
Same reason they haven't used me, Gabriel, or Oscar to get to any of these guys.
He waved his hand at Theodore and Kian.
The track team doesn't owe favors. They collect them.
This is a lot of dirt,
Mikkel growled, shooting a glare at the phone.
But then again, they hadn't held back in their recruitment attempts with him, either.
Those secrets were worse.
If this was the track team, then they were actually going easy on Carter.
Elijah didn't respond to him, instead choosing to watch as he came to the realization himself.
We have to do something!
Theodore was bouncing on the balls of his feet, his eyes growing dark and cloudy.
Go work out!
Mikkel's order came out as a bark.
We've got this.
Theodore didn't even pause to argue, despite the slitting of his eyes indicating that he wanted to. He spun and stalked out of the room, his movements jerky and sharp. Despite everything, Mikkel had to quietly admire the younger Alpha. Theodore was completely enamored with Isabel. Obsessed, possessive, and territorial in the way Alphas could get. But he was holding himself remarkably in check. Mikkel wouldn't have been able to hold himself back. When a woman was his.
No. Nope. None of that. Were they in the shower?
Elijah asked, the second Theodore was out of earshot, raising his brows at Mikkel. Maybe he was echoing Mikkel's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Mikkel pulled out his phone, hovering over Tilda's contact, pausing there and turning over all the scenarios in his mind.
Would you?
Elijah asked quietly, watching him. I know it's a big ask.
I can handle her.
Mikkel promised, before punching the button. She picked up on the third ring, her tone curious.
Why are you calling me from Reed's room?
He immediately strode for the door, sharing a quick look with Elijah before slipping into the hallway and walking back toward his office.
Was just leaving. You free later?
He asked, closing himself into his office.
I'm not available at your beck and call,
she snipped. Usually he played this game with her. Tonight, he had neither the time nor the patience, so he let that darker part of him take over. All of them had a demon of some kind. It was what had drawn them all together, and it was what bound them still. It was why several of them were drawn to Isabel like they couldn't help themselves. It wasn't the bond. It was the darkness, because she was just as damaged. They all had monsters living beneath their skin, proverbial cloaks they could shrug on and off when the mood struck, the material woven with obscure malevolence. They could use it to do unmentionable things, or they could use it to do the impossible. Isabel didn't wear her darkness the same way. She couldn't seem to control it or demand it serve her. Maybe that was what drew her to them. She needed someone to bring it out of her.
Enough about the Sigma.
He dropped his carefully walled composure and welcomed that caged beast into his skin with practiced ease. He felt the change in his stance, and when he spoke, he could even hear the silken cadence that edged his usually guarded tone.
It's time to leave work, he said. Go back to your apartment, Tilda.
A calm, cool emotion drifted over him. Control. Beautiful, sweet, fucking control.
I want you waiting on your knees, 4 steps from the door. You'll be punished for every article of clothing left on your body. You have 20 minutes.
He hung up, pausing a moment to give her enough time to leave her desk as he had ordered before he made his way back toward Theodore's room. He didn't need to question whether or not Tilda would obey him. She would. Despite everything, she would. Despite her own nature, even. This was what she wanted. What she was always begging for, always trying to push him to give to her. The one piece of him he wasn't always willing to share. Theodore's room was dark as he closed the door, the figures on the bed tensing, all of them except Carter. Even in the darkness, he could clearly see her curled up in a rumpled mess of blankets, her cheek resting on Oscar's arm, her fists curled in Killian's shirt, pulling it close to her face.
What is it?
Killian asked. Oscar didn't say anything.
I need her scent.
Mikkel stopped at the end of the bed, holding out both hands. It wasn't a request. Oscar lifted to his knees, bundling Carter into his arms.
The fuck for?
He asked quietly, his chest rumbling with a warning.
Killian filled you in.
Mikkel crooked his fingers, fixing Oscar with a cold, steady, demanding gaze. He wasn't asking a question, but Oscar nodded anyway.
I need information from Tilda.
The two of them stared at him for a moment, Killian's pale eyes widening, Oscar's dark eyes narrowing tightly.
Now.
Mikkel's tone turned low and velvety, almost a whisper, his power flexing out and expanding across the room. He didn't bother with alpha voice. Oscar knee-walked to the edge of the bed, and Mikkel reached out, carefully taking the sleeping girl from his arms.
I don't think that will work,
Killian said gently, hesitantly.
Mickey, I don't think you can just trick your system like that. We'll see,
Mikkel rumbled out, keeping his voice soft so as not to stir the Sigma. He held his breath, carefully rearranging her to drape across his front. Held up by his arms, banded across her thighs and back, her head falling into the crook of his neck.
"You can't get hard with Tilda anymore?"
Oscar asked, confused. He was scratching his neck, his attention roaming over Mikkel and Isabel. Killian shot out a leg, kicking Oscar in the thigh. Oscar ignored him, staring hard at Mikkel's arm. Mikkel tried to keep his breath short when he was forced to draw one, and he blocked out the scent that tried to curve cloyingly around him, just like he was blocking out the sensation of the soft body pressed up against his. She had lost weight. He didn't like that. It also had nothing to do with him. "She's desperate for me to dom her," he said quietly.
"So, dom her."
Oscar shrugged. Killian rolled his eyes.
"I'm sure it isn't that simple."
"It's not." Mikkel gave Oscar a disparaging look. Isabel shifted like she was waking up, her nose brushing against his neck. Her hands drifted up his chest, resting at his collarbones, her fingers curling in against the collar of his shirt. Her legs shifted up, like she was trying to cling on to him, and he considered quickly handing her off, but then her legs parted, twisting around his waist, her thighs squeezing with a contented sigh. He could feel the warmth of her everywhere suddenly, and he forgot to resume his shallow breathing, accidentally pulling in a lungful of her contented scent. Warm, wet, sticky cherry. It was like she had turned to syrup to drip over his skin. It was simultaneously exactly what he needed and everything he didn't want. He closed his eyes, forcing all the sensations down. When she settled again, her breathing returning to soft little puffs against his neck, he opened his eyes. Killian was wrong. He could definitely trick his system. "Tilda is inherently unhappy." He resumed speaking like nothing had happened, his voice perfectly composed. "That's why she was such a good target in the first place. She was vulnerable enough for me to slip right in and give her everything she needed. But that was last year. I should have cut her off and moved on to someone else, but I got lazy, and nobody else caught my interest, so we're stuck with her. I'm not a sadist." He let his eyes rest on Oscar for the briefest moment. "I'm an experienced dom. I don't like lording my power over people and seeing them suffer. I enjoy women submitting to me."
"Are you asking me to subdue her for you?"
Oscar asked, relaxing back against the headboard, ignoring the second kick Killian aimed at his legs.
"Stop it,"
Killian grumbled. Oscar smirked. He loved to tease Kaelin and Mikkel for their lifestyle. It was a pity. They could probably teach him to harness and control some of his more savage urges. But he wasn't interested in rules and structure. And the kink community was all about rules and structure. Mikkel snorted, his lips lifting into half a smile. "Tilda doesn't enjoy fear. She enjoys control. And that's the problem. Even bound and blindfolded, she still never hands over control. And I'm finding it harder and harder to convince my dick that we still need her."
"Why bother playing, then?"
Killian asked.
"Just have normal sex. Think about something else."
He managed to keep a straight face and not look at Isabel as he said it. Barely.
"She gets it when I need something from her. It's transactional, and we're both aware of that. I ask for something of her, and she gets something of me that she knows I don't want to share with her. It's how she feels in control."
Mikkel's skin wanted to crawl with disgust, but it seemed to be an impossible endeavor, with his little mate curled around him like a kitten. And he meant that in a purely scientific way. She was his mate. She was genetically predisposed to soothe him, to calm him,
to make him hard enough to bend other women over pieces of furniture in exchange for information. He hadn't slept with Tilda since finding out about Carter, but that couldn't last forever. There were only so many ways he could please her and appease her ego without fucking her before she started to get suspicious, and he could never admit to why he wasn't fucking her. He wasn't fully bonded to Carter, and he had no emotional connection to Tilda, so sex wasn't likely to harm the bond in any way. But he owed Carter some consideration. He was certain that if there were any repercussions through the bond, they would likely skip him and flow straight to the Sigma.
"Dumper,"
Oscar grunted, perhaps reading something on Mikkel's face.
"It's not worth it, Mickey."
"I've been in here too long," Mikkel muttered, gently peeling Carter away and passing her into Killian's arms. Killian took her gently, but his attention scoured Mikkel's face, taking in his body language.
"I agree with Oscar," he ventured. "You're clearly not enjoying yourself anymore. You shouldn't be doing this if you don't want to."
Mikkel ignored them. He did have to. He owed them. He owed Kaelin. He wasn't contributing to the game the same way they were. He needed to do this. Grabbing Theodore's laptop from the desk, he left the room and dropped it off in Elijah's room, delivering them a distracted excuse about needing a reason to go into Theodore's room to speak to the others, and then he made his way out of the dorm. He should have known that Killian wouldn't leave it alone. That boy was a bleeding fucking heart.
"Time to end it," Kaelin grunted, appearing out of no fucking where with those silent footsteps of his.
He fell in beside Mikkel as they approached the stairs leading down Alpha Hill.
"No."
He didn't break stride. Kaelin caught his shoulder, fingers digging in, forcefully spinning him around.
"Go and see her, but break it off, Mickey."
His yellow amber eyes assessed Mikkel slowly, carefully, reaching some sort of conclusion as his lips hardened.
"You're done."
Mikkel shrugged the other man's hand off, and with it, his influence. Kaelin rarely tried to overpower or outrank him, but he could already see in the older Alpha's eyes that this would be one of those rare situations if Mikkel resisted.
"I can't. You don't know what we're dealing with. Go see Elijah." "Elijah already called me and told me everything."
Kaelin folded his arms, his dark button-down stretching tight across his chest and biceps.
"And I'm making the call. You're done. We'll find another way to deal with the track team."
"Tilda is our way to deal with everything inside the control room," Mikkel snarled back, before pushing his hands through his hair, his fingers shaking. He didn't want to do it. He had been putting it off since finding out about Carter, stopping short of fucking Tilda, distracting her with her own pleasure and keeping his distance in general. Elijah had informed them all that different forms of intimacy outside of the bond could come with consequences, and he really wanted to believe that it was part of the reason. But he had hit some sort of limit. He couldn't pretend to care anymore. He couldn't play that game anymore. He needed to switch tactics. Kaelin just waited quietly, a spark of sympathy in his expression.
"Okay, shit."
Mikkel shook his head.
"Yeah, I'm done."
"Good."
Kaelin turned on his heel, but paused, glancing back at Mikkel.
"I know you're mad at yourself, but you need to find another way to funnel it out. You need to find another way to punish yourself, or you need to deal with your shit. After what happened to Elijah and Gabriel, this is the last example you should be setting."
Mikkel nodded, his jaw clenching as he gritted his teeth too tightly. Forcing it to loosen, he muttered,
"I know. Don't take too long. We need to strategize."
Kaelin walked off without another word, and Mikkel fought his way through the emotions to the cool, calm well inside him.
He had completely recovered by the time he arrived at the building neighboring the family center, where the on-site officials were housed, and he was focused as he stepped out of the elevator and opened the door to Tilda's apartment. She was kneeling, as he had told her to, but wearing a set of lacy lingerie, always trying to push him into punishing her. She always thought she wanted to be hurt, pushed, disciplined. But Mikkel knew her. She wasn't made of the kind of material he could work with. He needed someone who would bend, but not break. If he ever truly punished Tilda the way she begged for, his way, the woman would shatter into 1,000 jagged pieces. And Mikkel really didn't have a kink for ruining people's lives. "We're done here," he said calmly, watching as her head snapped up, her eyes narrowing. Expectation. Tilda was many things, but she wasn't an idiot. "That's not very wise," she warned him immediately, jumping up to her feet and reaching for the dressing gown she had tossed over the back of a bar stool. She knotted it tightly, a familiar tremble of fury shaking her full lower lip. "You'll lose all your special little privileges, Professor Easton."
"I'll survive."
He stood there, waiting, because there was bound to be more. She rounded her small kitchen counter, uncorking the bottle of wine she had left out, 2 glasses already waiting.
"Sit."
She didn't look at him as she poured out 2 glasses.
"You owe me that much."
He moved to one of the stools on the other side of the counter, accepting the glass she handed him, though he didn't take a sip. He was already saturated in Carter's scent and doing his level best to ignore it. He didn't need to add alcohol to the equation.
"You're fucked up, Mikkel."
Tilda looked down her slender nose at him, as though she had just read his mind. He smirked, deciding to take a sip of the wine after all. He leveled her with a cool stare as he waited for whatever else she wanted to throw at him. It was only fair that he stuck around as a punching bag for a few minutes. He had just dumped her without explanation.
"We could still play, you know."
She set her glass down, toying with the stem, the fingers of her other hand tingling playfully with the sash of her gown, her mood shifting abruptly. Tilda was the kind of woman to beg him to mark her before turning around to the officials the next day to claim he had forced her. She had a mind for devious strategy. They wouldn't give just anyone the creative director position for the entire Ironside project. She had a big picture mind, and a very small compartment reserved for feelings and emotions, most of which were her own. He had been telling himself for months that he was just too lazy to end it, but the real reason was he was concerned about the repercussions. He needed to tie this up in the right way, put a pretty bow on it. "Come here," he said lowly, snapping his glass back onto the counter. She moved toward him immediately, stopping between his legs, her hands on his thighs, her tongue running across her lips. She was a pretty woman, sharp-tongued and intelligent, a good decade older than him, but fit and lively. She had a wry smile and eyes that cut through all the bullshit, a thin, stiff upper lip and a full, sensual lower one. Pity she was disintegrating on the inside. She could have made some big-shot human director a very terrified man one day. He coaxed the strap of her dressing gown out of her grip and then yanked it from the loops, tearing one of them and forcing her to stumble forward, eyes wide. He flicked the silky material up over her eyes, slapping her hands down when they jumped up in protest.
"Do you want this or not?"
he growled, ignoring the bile in the back of his throat. Her hands fell again, and he looped the strap twice, three times, tying it off above her nose. There. A pretty bow. He could take that off his to-do list.
He slid off the stool, forcing her back a few steps as he pulled his phone out of his pocket and pulled it up to start a video of her bow-tied face.
He deliberately pressed his finger over the microphone, keeping his voice low as he spoke.
You want this, Tilda? Tell me how much.
He uncovered the microphone, and she made a low, whining sound in her throat. Part frustration, part annoyance. She wasn't good at begging.
Just fuck me already, she rasped,
and he set his phone down for a moment, blinding the camera. He hoisted her up onto the counter, moved the glasses out of the way, and set the half-full wine bottle between her thighs.
Show me, he whispered in her ear. Prove it, and I'll mark you up nice and good.
She should have realized that he was onto her then and there, but instead, she thought she was miles ahead, running laps around him. She had no idea. He had been running laps around everyone at Ironside long before he even arrived. He picked up his phone again, moving back several steps and lifting the camera to focus on her. She shrugged her dressing gown off and shimmied out of the lacy lingerie, kicking the pieces onto the floor, her breaths coming in short pants. As he was recording, a group message notification popped up on his screen, and he clicked on it, leaving the camera to continue recording in the background.
Kian. Any news, Mickey?
Kaelin. Admin.
Mikkel is currently ending his arrangement. There won't be news tonight.
Mikkel watched as Kian and Theodore both began typing before they stopped again. It wasn't the best timing, but neither of them would question Kaelin or him.
Mikkel. I'll be getting the information one way or another, but maybe not tonight.
Kaelin started typing, and Mikkel rolled his eyes, quickly tapping out a message before Kaelin could lose his shit.
Mikkel, admin. I still ended it.
Kaelin also stopped typing, and then Mikkel returned his attention briefly to the woman on the kitchen counter. She was pouring the wine delicately onto her chest, her fingers following the stream down to her hip, where the drips teetered and spilled off to the side of her waist. Her fingers continued down, tunneling into her pussy.
It wasn't hot, those painted claws disappearing between pink lips. He needed more than that.
He covered the microphone.
Drink the wine, Tilda. Don't play with it. Empty the bottle.
His phone vibrated again. Theodore.
I'm glad it's over. We don't need her.
Moses.
I know you're a kinky bastard and everything, but not even you can tame crazy. Get out while you can.
Mikkel. Admin.
Try me.
Kian.
R.I.P., Tilda.
Moses.
You will be remembered.
Moses.
By someone.
Moses.
Oh, who am I kidding? She doesn't even have a cat.
Gabriel.
Try not to make a mess.
Nico.
What the hell are you doing to her?
Mikkel. Admin.
I'm not doing anything.
Elijah.
I'm afraid to ask.
Nico.
No, you aren't.
Elijah.
Okay, I'm not.
Mikkel. Admin.
Everything that is being done to her, she's doing herself. I'm just standing here on my phone. But the video should keep her on our side for a while.
He lifted his eyes from his phone again, realizing Tilda had finished the bottle. Sloppily. There was wine running down the sides of her mouth.
Put it inside you,
he ordered coldly. He wasn't even pretending anymore.
No, she whined. Come here and spank me instead. Choke me. Scratch me.
Predictable.
What else?
He asked.
Hurt me,
she demanded, clutching the bottle. You know what you have to do, he returned, tapping back into the group chat as he covered the microphone. Get yourself off with that bottle, and I'll make sure you're covered in my mark tomorrow. For everyone to see, for you to file a report. He hated that he had been right. He hated that there was no loyalty inside her. He hated it so much that it was a shock to his system when he scraped a hand down his face in irritation and got a heady whiff of cherry. Isabel had been saturated in her own scent, contented by Theodore and Killian's efforts to comfort her. But it was still a surprise that her scent remained so strong on his skin. He swallowed as his anger and frustration melted into something else, his hand tightening around the phone. For the briefest, most disturbing second, his sight wavered, and he imagined another body on the counter, dripping in liquid and following his orders. A growl built up in the back of his throat, and he dropped his phone down, cutting off the recording. He walked out, slamming the door, his eyes closing for a brief second as he willed his half-hard cock to deflate. He stalked into the elevator and texted the group a quick message. Mikkel, admin. We're set. There won't be any repercussions from Tilda. To Tilda, he sent the recording. Mikkel, nobody has seen it, and nobody has to. Don't ever try to trap me again, Tilda. He briefly considered sending another, kinder message. Something like, I enjoyed our mutually beneficial arrangement, or maybe to wish her the best for the future. But Tilda wasn't a sentimental person, and she likely wouldn't appreciate the empty attempts at pleasantries. It was better to just be honest. And he honestly wasn't thinking about their arrangement or her future at all by the time his feet hit the pathway leading back to Dorm A. His focus had always been on the Alphas, and tonight was no different.
Chapter 8. How about go fuck yourself? It was difficult for Isabel to drag herself back from the warm, fuzzy depths of sleep, and the closer she got to the surface of consciousness, the more she ached. It was a slow pain, a cinder sparking against a rough, cavernous wall, showing just how cold and empty she was inside. It was confusing, because at the same time, she felt amazing. She felt light as air, warm to her core, and blissed out on the most delicious aroma. Like a full-bloom meadow in spring, the bergamot-oleander blend was heady and drowsy, sweet and sunny, light and fragrant but utterly addictive. She cracked her eyes open, blurrily focusing on the ceiling of Theodore's room, her arms and legs flinging out as she unfurled in a heavy, lazy stretch. The bed was empty, but still warm on either side of her. She paused, her brow furrowing as she tried to remember what had happened the night before. Killian, Theodore, the shower, and then nothing? Panic sluiced through her, heavy and sharp, but there were no new scars on her arms. In fact, the scars she did have seemed to have faded slightly. They were smaller, thinner, less jagged. The bed smelled only faintly of Theodore and strongly of Killian and Sado. They must have stayed with her. She sucked in a lungful of air, trying to clear away the remnants of her panic as the door cracked open, Kian appearing with a cup of coffee and a plate of avocado toast.
Morning, sunshine.
He kicked the door closed behind him, eyeing her carefully.
Ready to go viral because the sexiest alpha in Dorm A just brought you breakfast and bit...
He froze, his eyes zeroing in on her chest. She glanced down, freezing at the slight glow through her borrowed t-shirt. She yanked at the neckline, pulling it far enough to reveal the shining gemstone. The new gemstone. It was a few inches below the stone that had momentarily given her Kaelin's powers. It was a cold, icy gray, like a cloudy diamond. The panic tried to claw back into her, but Kian's panic was stronger, drowning hers out. He dropped the plate, shoving the mug onto the bedside table as he fell onto the bed, grabbing her head in his hands.
"Focus on me," he said quietly. "Take 5 deep breaths. Count them for me."
Panic, panic, panic. It hammered into her, denting her barricade, knocking her off kilter. "You're the one freaking out," she gritted. "Not me." He blew out a breath that was half laugh, half scoff, his emotion settling somewhat.
"Right, sorry. Tell me what you're feeling."
He was still holding her face, his hands making her feel tiny, the roughness of his palms tempting her to turn her face to the side and brush her cheek against the texture. But she held herself back. "I feel warm. Like nothing, really. Are you trying to hold me in place by my head so I don't turn back time?" He made that huffing sound again, his hands drifting, one of them slipping around the back of her neck, the other dropping to her shirt, weighing down the neckline as he stared at the gemstone, and almost exposed her chest a little too much.
"We don't know what this one does. It could be..."
He trailed off, giving her a guarded look. "I know." She caught his forearm, brushing her touch along his skin, trying to soothe him the way he seemed to be able to do just by touching her. His attention drifted, his teeth catching his lip as he pressed his knuckles forward against the chain embedded into her skin. His eyes flicked up to hers, watching her reaction, before he unfurled his fingers, pressing his entire palm to her chest. Her own hands fell back down to her lap, her heart stuttering beneath his grip. He pressed, weighing her back, inch by inch, until her head was sinking into the pillow, her hair fanning messily around her. He pulled in a steadying breath, licking his lips.
"How do you feel?"
he repeated. Well, now she didn't want to tell him. She folded her arms, inadvertently trapping his hand between her breasts. Something lit up in his bright gaze, the aquamarine color glittering as his power swelled around her, dousing her in sun and salt water. It pooled in the back of her throat, threatening to choke her. She was almost convinced that a cresting wave had sprayed her with sea mist as little beads of sweat tried to gather across her skin. "I feel fine," she blurted, sounding completely scattered. Can I have my... coffee? I don't think anything is going to happen." He lifted off her immediately, grabbing the cup from the bedside table. Drips of coffee stuck to the side from his haste in slamming it down. He pressed it into her hands and then just sat there, staring at the mug with a heavy, dark frown, before his eyes widened.
"Fucking hell,"
he groaned, examining her face.
"Tell me to do something."
"Like what?" Some of her nervousness dropped away at the shocked look on his face. She gulped at the coffee, but he reached out, grabbing the mug again.
"Anything."
He stole the coffee off her, slapping it back onto the bedside table, clearly wanting her to focus. "How about go fuck yourself?" she grumbled, quickly reaching for the coffee again. She might be a Sigma, but anything getting between her and caffeine first thing in the morning turned her into a prissy, bossy beta. Kian was tugging at the tie in his sweatpants. "What are you..." she started, but he cut her off as his hand tunneled beneath the waistband, dragging it just low enough to show her the hint of another tattoo swirling up from where the waistband of his underwear should have been. If he had been wearing any.
"You might want to tell me to stop before we get the Ironside show banned from the family-friendly time slot, sweetheart."
He sounded like he was joking. There weren't even any cameras in the room, but his face made him look entirely serious. His hand shifted, and it looked like he had wrapped it around his length, his jaw clenching.
Isabel.
Stop! Jesus Christ, stop! He breathed out a short sigh of relief, pulling his hand out of his pants and holding them both up in an innocent gesture.
You've got Elijah's power, love. Hypnosis.
What? She rasped, staring at his hand. His scent had changed. It didn't remind her of the ocean anymore, but of steam-choked gasps and sweat-dusted skin. He was sun-soaked sex, and it was the single most drugging scent she had ever experienced. She grabbed his hand, driven entirely by instinct, but stopped just short of pressing it against her face, leaving them both to stare at their clasped hands, held between them for no reason. She quickly dropped him, and he leaned back, leveling her with a calm look that didn't give away any of his thoughts. But he was half hard, making his sweatpants look a little obscene as the material clung to the outline of his cock, the edge of his tattoo still peeking out. It looked like a branch of some kind, with flowers on it. That didn't feel very hypnotic, she said, trying to mimic his relaxed posture, ignoring her thundering heartbeat and forcing her voice to sound normal, and her gaze to stay on his face.
You aren't practiced with it like Elijah is.
His lips crooked into an amused half-grin.
And thank all the levels of hell for that.
It sounds super illegal. She pulled her legs up to her chest, wrapping her arms around her knees. That makes five of you. Theo, Moses, Easton, Sato, and Reed.
Sato, hmm?
His head tipped to the side, golden tendrils of hair escaping the way he had knotted them at the back of his head, curving down around his face.
That's new.
He told me. She reached out to him with her foot, nudging his thigh with her toes, drawing a small smirk onto his face to chase away the look of arrogant inquisition that had taken over his features.
Just like that?
Kian asked.
Didn't ask for anything in return?
He was regarding her like he knew. Maybe Killian and Theodore had already told him, and he was just pretending to hear it for the first time.
Why don't you check your group texts?
She suggested, pushing him with her toes again. I bet they told you all about it. This time, he grabbed her foot, trapping it against the bed.
The content of the group texts got a little explicit last night. I don't think you want to see that.
Explicit? She blinked at him, her mind racing. How? What do you mean? She felt the urge before it really blossomed into her mind as an idea, and Kian stiffened as soon as he read the intention on her face.
Isabel, don't.
Tell me, she said. He groaned.
You're going to pay for that.
He shook his head, closing his eyes as though he was fighting against something. But then he fixed her with a serious look.
Mickey ended things with his girlfriend, recorded her fucking herself with a wine bottle as she begged him to hurt her, just to keep her under his thumb. He didn't send us the recording, but he explained what happened after. Oh, for fuck's sake, Carter, don't make me say this.
Stop! She squeaked, blinking at him in astonishment. Wow, sorry. Wasn't expecting that. He shook his head, but there was a tight smile tugging his mouth.
Impossible,
he muttered, and then his head snapped up again, attention narrowing on her chest.
Why are you getting side effects? Especially after last night. Shouldn't you be more settled?
She shrugged. Isn't Easton's girlfriend an official? You don't have to tell me. He chuckled, slipping off the bed.
Tilda is an official. Our eyes and ears inside the control room. That means she's a human. She's a bit obsessed with Mickey. Practically stalked him before he was posted here as a professor. But she's ashamed of their relationship because he's gifted.
Why would she ask him to hurt her? Why would she, the thing with the wine bottle? Kian shook his head, his expression melting into amusement.
That's Mickey's business.
How do you feel now? He was looking at her chest, where the glow from the gemstone was no longer peeking through her shirt. Honestly, she frowned, I don't feel any different. Shouldn't I be able to feel these powers? Do you know what it feels like when Elijah uses his hypnosis?
He doesn't use it.
Kian stood up from the bed, leaning over to drag her up beside him.
Also, not my story to tell. Killian went to Dorm O to grab you some clothes. He should be back any minute. Want some more toast?
It was Sunday, so she didn't have any classes, but that didn't mean she had a clear day ahead of her. She shook her head. I'll grab breakfast after practice. I'm already late.
All right, then.
He stood over her, glancing at the way Theodore's shirt threatened to fall off her shoulder.
Just a heads up. You aren't going back to Dorm O. Not today, not next week, not ever. Killian is bringing back the essentials. You can keep them in his room until the end of term.
I can't just... He ducked down, kissing an inch from the side of her mouth, shocking her into stillness and silence.
This isn't a negotiation.
He lowered his voice to a purr that rumbled through her, making her sway closer to him.
It should be,
she managed.
You're right,
he smiled.
It should be, but it isn't. Eve and every single one of her pathetic, spineless little cronies are dead idiots walking. But that doesn't mean we can take them out on live television. So until we can think of a way to get her permanently expelled, you can't be alone.
You guys don't even want the bond, she snapped, completely aware that she was angry at Eve, not Kian, but she couldn't stop the temper from flaring in her voice. What does it matter? The asshole kissed her again, his lips pressed to the other side of her mouth, not actually touching her lips, drifting down until his teeth nipped at her jaw.
Aren't we friends?
He rumbled, his nose to her cheek, his sapphire eyes hidden from her view.
Do you enjoy seeing your friends almost murdered?
I wouldn't try to control their lives, she squeaked, her voice thin and wobbly. Why did he keep doing that? Kian was always flirting, always teasing her, but he was acting almost sweet and sensual. Not like himself.
If you die, we'll be hit with everything you're holding back,
he said lowly.
Theo and Moses will feel the full force of being ripped from their mate, and they'll probably lose their shit. Then we're all fucked, and whoever happens to be around them when it happens will be dead. And I don't even want to think about who Oscar will kill if someone breaks his toe.
He cut himself off, inching back to stare at her as he tried to cover up what he had been about to say.
Toy, she deadpanned. I meant mate.
He gave her a stern look.
And I...
He chewed his perfect, sinuously curved lip, looking her steadily in the eyes.
You're a sweet girl, Illy. You're soft and kind, but stubborn and loyal. And I like having you around. I can't stand the thought of someone like you being hurt. Again. It doesn't have anything to do with the bond.
Thank you? She swallowed, wondering how to react. Should she compliment him? The first thing that flashed into her mind was how amazing his new ink looked against his beautiful golden skin. Maybe that wasn't appropriate. His eyes dipped to her mouth again, and he groaned.
You're welcome. Why the fuck do you smell so good this morning?
It's Sato and Killian.
He laughed huskily. No, it's not. I should go. I'm late for group session.
You guys have group session on the weekend, too? She asked, surprised.
Yeah, it's three times as long.
He collected the plate he'd dropped on the way in and yanked open the door, leaving her to ponder his words as she touched her newest gemstone. There was room for more. There was room for 8 more. Eventually, she could get Theodore and Moses's ability. She needed to make sure she was ready for that. She needed to make sure she wasn't on camera for that. Gabriel fell into step beside her as she was leaving Dorm A half an hour later. She was showered and dressed for the day in a pair of spandex shorts and one of Killian's t-shirts that she was pretending she had picked up by accident after he unloaded most of her clothes into his closet.
Puppy?
Gabriel yawned, looking down over Alpha Hill as the sun climbed higher, turning the colorful desert flowers into vivid, beautiful hues of yellow, orange, and red.
Can I persuade you to reschedule your practice time and come to group session instead?
Her shoulders hunched in a little, feeling the constrictions of her situation tightening around her. But she fought to keep her tone free from any of the strain. Sure. Thanks for, you know... She waved her hand awkwardly. The help. He just stared back at her, his russet eyes murky, his features so perfect and symmetrical that they almost distracted her away from the fact that there was no emotion on his face whatsoever.
No problem. We've got the situation handled.
She pulled out her phone to reschedule her practice sessions, knowing that whoever was keeping an eye on her calendar would inform her father. He usually returned to the academy on Sunday evenings, but didn't expect her to see him until Monday. He liked to question her on every single minute change to her routine, her classes, and her social media feed. Reed caught up to them as they reached the bottom of the stairs, falling in on her other side without a word. Halfway there, she stumbled, and both of them stopped, a hand on each of her biceps, staring down at her with narrowed eyes and sharp attention, watchful and alarmed. They seemed even more worked up about Eve returning than she was.
What is it?
Reed's attention swept down to her chest. Kian said this session is going to take a few hours. She swallowed as they released her. Sorry, I was just wondering how you endure a few hours of... that. Reed rolled his eyes, and they both started walking again, Gabriel's hand low on her spine, urging her to keep pace.
It's a singing lesson,
Reed... Elijah said. She might as well use his name, since he was now her sort of roommate, and she was his sort of captive. She might as well use all their names.